on the one hand, think about how you can make the worship experience a truly a worship experience.
Yes.
Experience where everybody could participate and nobody was a spectator.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is to get off the seat and get on the streets in terms of what you believe. Get off the seat and on the street about what you believe. Talk to the legislators, talk to the powers that be that are already elected to office, but also talk to the people that are out on the street living each day and experiencing part of what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was all about.
Let me welcome you to Mindful Leader. I am Dennis Shaw. I'm a retired elder in the Mountain Sky Conference of the United Methodist Church. And I am honored today to have the Reverend France Davis from Salt Lake City, Utah, as my guest. We're going to talk a little bit about Black history. Pastor Davis was originally from Georgia. Early in his life in the 1960s, he marched with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. from Selma to Montgomery. So he has a personal experience of he has been with Dr. King on a ministry. For a short while, he was in the United States Air Force as a jet mechanic. He has multiple degrees. I will post elements of that in my show notes so you can see what it is that what he has from an educational perspective. Pastor Davis got to Utah in 1972. And he has been on the faculty at the University of Utah, and he has also been the pastor of the historic Calvary Baptist Church in inner city Salt Lake. He is a national member in the National Baptist Church, and the resume he sent me didn't include the fact that he was a member of the Utah Board of Regents, but somewhere in my memory bank, I think he was or is a member of the Board of Regents. And I will tell you this, that when I got to Salt Lake in 2012, Pastor Davis wrapped his arm around me, and he was just a tremendous mentor and coach, and just a fantastic person for me for the whole 7 years that I was there. And I was blessed to be in ministry with Pastor Davis. And I just want to issue to everybody around here a great big thank you to you, Pastor Davis, for all you did for me when I was in Utah. Thank you for having said yes to being on this broadcast. Thank you very much.
Well, my pleasure. And I was on the Board of Regents.
I thought so.
For 10 years.
Yeah.
And I also was vice president of the National Baptist Congress of Christian Education.
Wow.
For additional 10 years. And at the University of Utah, I taught for 42 years and was pastor of the historic Calvary Baptist Church for 47 years. And so I've been around for
you have been around. It was always amusing. I would go to the annual celebrations at Calvary Baptist, and he would, Pastor Davis would always invite some really good preacher. And sometime during the sermon, the really good preacher would be told by Pastor Davis, "Now we need to get you to the airport because Calvary Baptist has a preacher," and it always generated laughter. I always thought it was a stitch. I always thought it was so funny.
Yeah, well, it was meant to be funny, and it always.
I enjoyed it. When we did the run-up to this conversation, Pastor Davis and I said we would talk a little bit. I mean, this podcast will be released on Dr. King's birthday, which is the 15th of January. But we're going to talk a little bit about Black history. And I thought since it's going to come out on Dr. King's birthday, we would talk a little bit first about Dr. King. And I hope that the things that we talk about might be useful for some people as they sort of think about what it is they're going to say in February about Black history. And so I guess the first question I would have for you, Pastor Davis, is from a theological discussion. And from your perspective, as the purpose of having you on here is I want France Davis, Pastor France Davis's perspective. What does the life of Dr. Martin Luther King say to us in February 2024? What is it we should think about and reflect on and offer to our congregations?
Well, I think we ought to offer to our congregations, most of all, that Dr. King believed and tried to put into practice what he believed. He thought it was very important to not just have a belief, but also to practice what one believed. If one said that one loved everybody, then you ought to act like that. You ought to show that you love everybody.
Faith in action kind of thing.
Faith in action was his role model, was his example, and he set that for all of us by being both a pastor of a church and a leader in the civil rights movement, the modern civil rights movement of the 1960s, 70s, 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s.
I had an opportunity to read his book, Stride Toward Freedom, which was about Montgomery. And when he went down to Dexter Avenue Baptist Church, he didn't go down there for the purposes of leading a civil rights movement in Montgomery. He went down there for a very different purpose. He was going to complete his PhD in systematic theology and then I guess go on to do some other things, but
well, he actually went to Montgomery after he had finished his PhD at mm-hmm. Boston University, mm-hmm. and when he went to Montgomery, Alabama, he went to become the pastor of the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. However, in December of 1955. He went to a meeting and was asked to lead the Montgomery Improvement Association, which was the beginning, if you will, of the modern civil rights movement in a major way.
And he went to that meeting and he was the junior minister in the room. I guess his own words were he was stunned that they had asked him to be the leader.
Indeed. And in fact, he was drafted to become the leader of the Montgomery Improvement Association because he had no vested interest. He had not burned any bridges. And he was well trained academically, as well as from his father's example.
Yeah, I regularly would tell people that Dr. King graduated from high school when he was 15, had a baccalaureate right. degree when he was 18, had his master's degree when he was like 20, 21, and had completed his PhD studies without his dissertation. I think he was 24. I mean, 20, incredible.
25 when he finished his PhD degree.
Incredible.
And then offered all kinds of places to work, including some presidents of colleges, but mm-hmm. decided that it was more important to be a leader in the Black community, for the Black community, as a pastor of a church.
And one of the people that he was a protege of course, Dr. Gandhi was assassinated in 1948, but one of the people that Dr. King was at least an avid reader of and a student of course, was Gandhi. And I want to say, was that, I guess, sort of this combination of Jesus himself and then Gandhi's own words of how Gandhi had led the revolution in India, this doctrine of nonviolence came into it. And he would not let his followers use violence against the violence that was directed at them.
Well, the movement was about being nonviolent, practicing what one believed without lashing out or hitting back or spitting back or even name calling in return for those who call him names. So Dr. King had learned a lot from Gandhi, as well as Dr. Howard Thurman had set the example for him in terms of much of what he was going to do and what he would do.
And you mentioned Howard Thurman. Dr. King had his doctorate is from Boston University. I'm not sure exactly when Howard Thurman was at Boston University, but Howard Thurman was a little older than Dr. King. But he's also a name that comes up quite a bit when we start to talk about Black History and Black History Month, Howard Thurman himself. What might we say about Howard Thurman in Black History Month that might have some relevancy in 2024?
Well, Dr. Thurman, I worked for his wife while I was in school at UC Berkeley in San Francisco. But Dr. Thurman was quite a mystic. He believed in opening the doors for all people. In fact, in San Francisco, he started a church, the Church of All People, of all faiths. And Dr. Thurman was quite the thinker as well as speaker. And he taught many of us how to live what Dr. King was talking about.
Yeah. Again, a faith in action kind of logic.
That was the goal of both Dr. King and Dr. Thurman. They believed that it was important to not just sit in the pulpit on Sunday and preach, but also on Monday to get out in the streets and to live, to show people how to live the kind of thing that he'd been talking about on Sunday.
I'm quite an active student of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and that was what he would preach on Sundays. He would preach to the Germans that this hour is supposed to be contagious. It's supposed to move out into the week. It's supposed to have an impact on you. It's not just an intellectual discussion. It's an action-oriented discussion as well.
And while Dr. King was very intellectual, he knew the theologians by name. He could quote what they had to say, and he was very intellectual in that sense.
Yeah.
But in another sense, he was also very practical, down to earth, and believed that we ought to live what we were preaching on Sundays.
Yeah, the Greek word for actor the Greek word hypocrite actually means actor. And I think one of the criticisms people have of the church today is the fact that we act as if we're followers of Christ rather than actually be followers of Christ.
In fact, we've said, we profess it, but we don't act like we possess it.
Yeah.
Probably the way to sum it up.
Yeah. Yes, sir. A third man who was important in this time frame. Actually, I've gone sort of in somewhat reverse order. I've gone with the youngest, which was, I think, Dr. King, and then I went with Howard Thurman. I'm not sure if Samuel DeWitt Proctor is older than Thurman or younger, but he was also involved in this education. Samuel DeWitt Proctor was at Virginia Union. But he was also a director of the Peace Corps in Nigeria, I think I have that right. But he was also sort of a steward over the nurturing and development of various Black leaders in the 1940s and 1950s, one of which was Dr. King himself. He's a more obscure name, I think, to many people, but I've got to believe he had an impact on the development of theologians in the 20th century. Am I right on that?
Well, Dr. Samuel DeWitt Proctor was not only at Virginia Union, but he also was a pastor of a church in New York.
Abyssinia.
And while serving in that capacity, he sought to show us how to live the life that we were preaching about on Sunday, similar to Dr. King and to Dr. Thurman.
That does seem to be a theme, doesn't it? That if you're gonna say you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then be a follower of Jesus Christ.
Indeed, and one of his complaints with many of his colleagues, as well as that of Dr. King, was that people were talking a lot but not doing a lot in terms of their behavior.
Yeah, we sometimes use the expression talk the talk, but don't walk the walk.
Right, right. Talk the talk, but not walk the walk. And they were all practitioners who believed in not only talking the talk, but also walking the walk.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I am just stunned at the bravery that it took that Dr. King himself on this Selma to Montgomery walk. And not only was it brave personally, but he was able to convince people like France Davis, 18-year-old France Davis, to join with him on this walk, and to do this in such a way that violence, if violence broke out, it would be directed at them, but not by them. I mean, that's
well,
impressive.
One of the really impressive things about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is that he could talk to anybody at any level. He could talk to me as a student, as well as people who were his colleagues, and get us all to understand that it was important to live the life that we were talking about. Mahalia Jackson used to sing a song entitled, "I'm Gonna Live the Life I Sing About in My Song."
Yeah.
And the same was true with Dr. King in terms of what he was trying to get people to understand. Yeah. Wasn't enough to believe it. You had to believe it and do it.
I spent many an Easter morning with Pastor Davis at it was Trinity AME, wasn't it, that you and I would often
Trinity AME, the oldest black church in Utah, is where I would oftentimes be.
You would.
And you were there sometimes with me as well.
Yeah, I heard Pastor Davis preach many a time at 6:15 in the morning on Easter Sunday. And so he has some experience with the followers of John and Charles Wesley. Most of my people that I would be talking to here are generally followers in theory of Jesus Christ as illuminated for them, shown to them through the way of the theology of John Wesley and the songs of Charles Wesley. What might you say to us today, these descendants of John and Charles Wesley, of what it is that you would mentor us in Black History Month, what it is you think we ought to think about?
Well, I would suggest two primary things to think about. On the one hand, think about how you can make the worship experience truly a worship experience.
Yes.
Experience where everybody could participate and nobody was a spectator.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is to get off the seat and get on the streets in terms of what you believe. Get off the seat and on the street about what you believe. Talk to the legislators, talk to the powers that be that are already elected to office, but also talk to the people that are out on the street living each day and experiencing part of what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was all about.
For those who haven't been to a Black church or haven't the experience, it's the Black church on Sunday morning, it's a celebration. It is it's theologically deep and rich, but it is highly celebratory. It's very spirit moving. It's just and they don't have and on Sunday afternoon, when I've been to see some of the services with Pastor Davis, that they might start at 1 o'clock. They do start at 1 o'clock, but they would often go to 3:30, 4, 4:30. It was nobody was watching the time. It was impressive.
Well, nobody's watching the time because everybody's having a good time.
They are.
Everybody's enjoying themselves, and they are fully engaged in whatever is going on in the worship experience. And that's what I mean by talking about the worship celebration as a time for everybody, who were descendants of John and Charles Wesley, as well as those of other groups, could learn well how to conduct a worship service in a way that everybody can participate. It's participatory worship, not just spectator presence.
I personally tried to incorporate that at Hilltop when I was there at in Salt Lake, as you. Roberta Szyminski was my director of music, and she was very much into the idea of what you were describing there, this physical engagement with what was going on.
Well, Roberta continues to have that choir active, and they're doing the work of being engaged in the worship service, and they're singing in particular.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's a very moving experience. Anything you would like to share with us about Black History Month that I didn't ask you, that I forgot to ask you about?
Well, I would like to remind all of us that we are all in this boat together.
Amen.
Either we sink or we swim. We either survive or we struggle trying to survive. And as members of the same team, we ought to be trying to persuade others to become members of our team.
I like that, that we're all part of the same team. Pastor Davis, I just one more time, all I can do is say thank you to you for these last 12 years of knowing you, and what a blessing you have been to me personally, and what a blessing you have been to the Methodist community there in Salt Lake. And how it is you continue even now to lead. I think you're going to go off and speak in South Dakota in January on Martin Luther King Sunday, or is that your birthday?
I'm going to the University of South Dakota on the 14th and 15th of January, which are the days that we celebrate the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I'll be talking about where we go from here.
Wonderful.
What do we do for the future to walk as Dr. King would have us to walk?
Yeah, I think you've stated that theme very eloquently. And if you talk the talk, walk the walk.
Talk the talk and walk the walk, and the two go together.
They do.
One without the other is empty.
Pastor Davis, I cannot say thank you enough for having said yes to this. This is Dennis Shaw, and you have been listening to Mindful Leader. Again, Pastor Davis, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Good to be here, and let's continue to be a powerful force for justice in Utah and across the country.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.